Welcome in, powerful kings from around the planet, to this episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the podcast where the entire aim of every word in every episode is to support you. Put yourself in the driving seat to becoming the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. Today's episode, I really want to speak to, I know, an awareness in my own marriage for years, about 12 and a half years, and I know by extension speaking with more and more married men around the world, is to speak the unspoken. And the unspoken in the vast majority of married men's inner lives is this quiet desperation that lies silently at the background of your lived inner world experience. A level of frustration, a level of hopelessness, a level of, you know, just a lack of fulfillment in your lived experience on a day-to-day basis. The vast majority of men, what I'm finding, and I did this for years, we busy ourselves mentally. We have projects, we have goals, you know, we pursue careers, we pursue expanding our financial resources. You know, we get busy with the chores of everyday life, of married life, of, you know, maintaining the house, of DIY, of bringing the kids here and there, of, yeah, the certain things that we do in marriage itself. But everything ends up taking on this sense of it's a chore, it's a responsibility. It's almost like there's this imprisonment in a limitless, you know, ever lengthening list of chores and responsibilities that goes hand in hand with being a man in marriage, being a husband, being a father, being a, you know, the good guy in relationship. But the unspoken is the sense of desperation at the back of it that no matter how much we love our wives, and I do believe every man listening in, I do believe that you do love this beautiful woman in front of you. Deep down, when you reflect upon it, you have an immense love for her and caring for her. You can love your married life to a point. You're like, oh, the home where we live, my job, my work, my kids. You know, you can even have quite a bit of gratitude for, you know, the health of your family, etc., etc. But deep down, there is a radical aliveness that is not being felt by the vast majority of men in married life. And if this is not spoken to, years can go by and more subtle and not so subtle resentment builds within you, within your psyche, because the masculine core is pointed towards the pursuit of embodied freedom. Everything about being a man, at the masculine core of every single one of you listening in, has this yearning, this unapologetic, deep, soulful yearning to embody freedom in the most limitless way imaginable. And when we feel imprisoned, when we feel like we cannot pursue the fulfillment of that yearning for absolute felt experiential freedom, when we feel we're imprisoned in marriage, we resent that. And by resenting that, by resisting that, we end up projecting judgments and that resentment on our women. And that is what corrodes our marriage going forward. That's what ends up, you know, the rose-tinted glasses in the beginning when it was all freedom, when it was free loving, you know, when you get up and, you know, you'd say in the morning, hey, let's go off for the weekend together. And like, you could just do that freely in the beginning of the relationship, and there was sex and there was passion and there was creative times. Slowly but surely, that ends up being eroded. At the core of this episode, I really want to get to the root cause of why that happens. And my greatest expectation, my greatest desire and wish is that you realize within yourself, it has nothing to do with your wife. It's not your wife that has imprisoned you. It's not your married life that has imprisoned you. You know, it's not an inherent part of being a married man is, well, you just, you know, you've just got to put up and shut up. You've just got to wait till, you know, you retire. You've just got to wait till the kids fly the nest. You've got just got to wait till that point in the future, in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, 20 years' time, you know, that's when I will have arrived. That's when the vast majority of the shit, that's when the shit hits the fan in marriage. So many times, women have been feeling the same, their unique womanly feminine version of the same quiet inner desperation. That's when they leave you. That's when they end up cheating. That's when they just go into a fucking depression, or, you know, they have some mental illness, or they develop a psychosomatic physical illness that sort of binds you with them. But it's like their body says no. The longer you go without acknowledging this inner truth, this authentic self, at some point your body says no, your wife says no, or life says no. Your lived experience will give you an experience that will stop you in your tracks to look deeper. This episode, I just really want to nod to what I see as the greatest issue in married life as a man is the belief that there is this inherent characteristic of marriage that traps you. What really traps you, literally the only thing that is trapping you in your lived inner world experience, on any terms, we're talking within the context of marriage here, but in any part of your life's existence, the only thing that imprisons you is an ignorance of the limitless spiritual being that you are. An ignorance, like a forgetfulness of how powerful you are as a man. My absolute belief, like at the core of my being, and I've had my own journey to come and remember this, but what has turned my whole married life around and my life around, and I'm learning to lean more and more into this, is this core belief that I am as powerful as any man that has ever lived, is alive now, or ever will be alive in future. And by extension, I invite you to relate to yourself, to remember this part of you, that you are as powerful as any man that has ever been before, any man that's alive now, and any man that will ever be alive in future. You are that powerful. The greatest pain in life, the great life suffering, is forgetting this is a fact of your reality. How does this happen? You know, it's important to go back to childhood memories, childhood, the upbringing, how we were submerged in and marinated in a society that strips all of this, you know, sense of infinite self, of infinite power that you have as a human being. It strips that from you and sort of forces upon your nervous system this story that you're limited, that you're small, that you don't have this power, and how dare you be real. I was listening during the week to Gabor Mate. I don't know if any of you know or follow Gabor's work. Just an incredible teacher on trauma and the development of us as human beings as kids. He was placing a lot of attention on pre-verbal. So it's like even going back before you have words, that how those times are so potent in the effects that they have on the development of your mind, on your nervous system, and thus, you know, when they have such an effect in your early developmental years on your nervous system, well, that develops the nervous system, which is your mind, which navigates life. And the belief systems that are set in your nervous system back then, they become the paintbrush for your lived reality years later. So this has massive impact on your lived experience in marriage right now. You know, if you're feeling trapped, if you're feeling frustrated, if you have this sense of you've forgotten what it is to be radically alive as a man, Maybe you never had that, or maybe you had it in younger days. Maybe you had it when, you know, you were so-called free and single to do whatever you want, but you're struggling to connect with that and have been struggling to connect with that radical aliveness, this sexually energized, fucking unapologetic part of your being just penetrating the world to create whatever existence, whatever experience you want on your terms, and, you know, being the most inspirational version of yourself. If that's not happening in your married life, this episode is definitely going to be of potent relevance for you. So buckle in, stick your seatbelt on, and let's go for this ride. Gabor was talking about the two fundamental needs that a child has. It's two basic needs that are absolutes. Number one is attachment. Number two is the need for authenticity. Let's just slow down and take a look at both of these. And as I'm doing this, you know, again, as always, the reminder, the invitation is like, don't listen in passively, like blah, 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 these words going in the background. You know, open up your whole mind as you're listening in and sort of listen to the reflections that your mind naturally churns up as you're listening in. You know, what are the memories that come up for you? What are the reflections from, you know, that I speak to that trigger in you? What meaning does it trigger in you relevant to your life? Get really proactive in how you're engaging with the conversation. That's where the guys that are doing that, they're the ones that are sending me the emails and the messages saying that everything is transforming for them. The first need of attachment. The attachment is like the fundamental need of being close, of seeking closeness and proximity with others. You know, it's like in the womb, it's the lover archetype, it's the attachment. In the womb is like the ultimate proximity, the ultimate warmth, the ultimate meeting of your needs. And we come into life, you know, we're mammals. We have an absolute need for attachment, for our nurturing and for our survival. Because attachment and close proximity to human beings is absolutely imperative to our survival, it is the one of the two needs that will be held as the absolute most important. It's the absolute priority attachment. Authenticity will be sacrificed for the sake of meeting attachment needs. It will not happen the other way around. Attachment is, you know, it acts to nurture the young. It's when your mother is close, it's breastfeeding, it's being fed, it's having your diaper cleaned, it's, you know, having your environment, you know, that people care for you, an environment. If you cry, you know, and you're tired, they will wrap you up, they'll keep you warm if you're cold, etc., etc. It's meeting all your absolute needs. And we're wired for it. Our whole nervous system, our whole evolutionary biological inheritance that comes with our young nervous system, we're wired for it. If we're not having our attachment needs met, you'll have a child throwing a shit fit. If any of you have had have had kids already, you'll know what it is that, you know, a young baby will make sure their attachment needs are met. They will be unapologetic in their expression for their needs. They'll just scream to the point at which they get them met. Number two is authenticity. Authenticity is the need to be authentic. If you look at authenticity and the word author, they have the same root. So to be authentic, you are the true author of your life. Now, what does that mean, you know, to be the true author? To be the author of your life, it's to be the true author of your life. Because there's a lot of times, I know, you know, myself, when I was, you know, those first 12 years in marriage, when, you know, I had you took me to the side and asked me, it's like, oh, you know, are you showing up authentically? I actually was, but I was only as authentic to the level of awareness of who I truly was, or who I truly am, or I was in that moment. And this is the crux of the issue. All of you guys listening in, you know, in a superficial level, the first few minutes of conversation, you know, every single one of you, I by and large, I have found an experience will sort of claim that you're living authentically, you're living real. And I don't think you're lying. Maybe some of you have done enough work, have enough awareness to go, no, I'm not fucking living my true life, my true authentic self would be doing this, would be expressing that. Maybe you have that awareness. But any of you that are having this sort of a little bit of a kickback or this feeling of, no, I am actually real, I'm showing up on it, this is, I'm living the life I really want. The issue is, like, how can you be fully sure that that is your authentic life? That is you that has been the author of it. When you go back to childhood, what ends up happening so often is we sacrifice our authentic expressions and needs in the moment for the sake of maintaining attachment. Every man listening in, you will have moments and memories of childhood when, you know, you came into the kitchen or the sitting room and your parents were there and you were speaking too loud, you were singing, you were dancing, you were climbing around the place and you were told, oh, you know, not in the kitchen. Don't be bold. Sit down. That's very rude to come in when, you know, when we're sitting watching TV, it's rude to come in and be so loud. And so you learn to, in micro doses, some of you might have like really specific, highly abusive moments and memories where maybe you were physically hit, you were verbally abused, like explicitly abused, and had excessive repeated put downs of yourself. So you might sort of get this point like really explicitly from the get-go. You're like, yeah, okay, there was a deep trauma there for me, I experienced this, and my authentic self was never allowed back then. Others of you be more in sort of line, like the majority can be more resonant with the type of experience I had growing up. I thought I had the perfect childhood, and in many senses I'm really grateful for it. You know, like, my parents never divorced, all my fundamental, you know, the attachment needs were met, roof, home, bit of money, we're never rich, but, like, you know, the basic needs of food and clothing and books for school and, you know, toys to a certain point, like, we had those needs met, and there was, you know, brothers, and we were at the table, and there was chat, there was laughter, etc., etc. So it seemed superficially that, man, there was no trauma there. But getting down, the more I do shadow work and deep men's work, and I've had deep coaching done to sort of track back what was really going on for me, there were hundreds and thousands of memories set in my nervous system where, you know, my fullest self was not actually welcome, where I was being a bit too loud there, or, you know, the sort of, my dad was away working, he didn't play like such a radically active role in parenting. He did the providing, he did the classic style, did it honorably, working as a police officer, so, like, you know, he did an incredible job, and he was a loving guy, still is. My mom, like, it's this, no more Mr. Nice Guy, the Mr. Nice Guy type persona. We had Robert Glover on there recently. It's been a really popular episode, you know, where so many, the vast majority of you guys listening in, you probably will resonate with this, that you had way more experiences of parenting from your mother to you than your dad to you. That you were spending way more time as a baby, as a young boy, with your mother. And then by extension, when you go into school, your early years in school, predominantly there were women that were there. So what ends up happening is there's a lot of good boy, bad boy differentiation going on in the nervous system. It's like your natural, aggressive, sort of wild, masculine core that wants to fight and shout and roar and be boisterous and have all of this incredible potent energy coming through you, that's bad boy stuff. Sit down, be quiet. And you end up learning that, you know, when you sit down and be quiet and you behave like a good boy, you get all the attachment needs met. And when you actually honor your younger boyish needs to be wild, to be out in nature, to be climbing, to be just fucking running 24/7, and you'll see it, the difference between a boy, classically a boy, a young boy and a girl, the boys, if you get a bunch of boys together and allow them, here's the thing, and allow them be boys, they'll end up doing crazy shit. It will end up being, they'll get far more into dangerous positions in their environment, seemingly dangerous positions, but that's part of their natural development, than girls will. But that's what we went through as boys. So it's like pre-memory that we have learned, pre-memory, pre-verbal, a lot of it, we have learned to dampen down our impulse to be radically authentic, because we learned in hundreds and thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of these human experiences. And remember, you were a two-year-old at the time, you were a four-year-old, you were 5, 6 years old when you were having these experiences. Your whole world, these people that you had these experiences with, you have to go back into the perspective that, like, you're this little 2 foot tall being walking amongst, 5.5, 6 foot tall beings. Like, they're big, they have the full power over you in many senses. They provide all your needs. If you go against them, if you go against your parent, if you go against your mother's wishes, like, the risk is your attachment needs are not met. They get upset with you, they ignore you. They mightn't give you your needs, or they withhold love from you. The nice smiles, if you're a bad boy repeatedly, they withhold the smile, they withhold the hug, they withhold the expressions of love. That, to a two-year-old, three-year-old, four-year-old self in you, that's severe. That's like the most catastrophic lived experience in your, two-year-old life, three-year-old life. So these experiences, we can look back, and the risk is, the 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old you or myself, we can look back and we forget the exact memory of it. We forget how difficult that was. Again, a nod and a bow to you guys that have deeply specific memories of how hurtful that was. So if you're listening in, I nod and a bow to that. But I really need to speak to this sort of belief that, we end up rationalizing a lot of stuff that happened when we were younger, and we forget the relevance of it, and we forget how that has deeply imprinted our nervous systems. Now, what all of this has to do with marriage and how it is so destructive in marriage is, especially with our relating with women, it's like this good boy, bad boy type differentiation that goes on, is inauthenticity became an adaptive response in our earlier environment, which meant, with our mothers and then with the feminine in early teachers and that, we learned that there was this like unspoken rule book of, if you do this, you get the smiles, you get all the attachment, you get all the praise, you get all the love from the feminine. If you do this other set of behaviors, that gets reneged. You get disapproving looks and the hurt that went along. So these were very normal responses to an abnormal environment. And as I say, when the child is confronted with the choice between meeting the needs of being authentic, it's like, I just want to shout, I just want to scream, I just want to climb everywhere. If the cost of doing that, of expressing your authenticity, was to have all your emotional attachment needs denied from you, I mean, some kids did it. They became the outliers. They became the black sheep in the classroom. They became the black sheep in the family because they were the shit stirrers. And for you, for some of you guys that you were like, yeah, man, I was that role. That's a phenomenally difficult role to have played. In some ways, I honor the part in you that just would not relinquish this fiery part of your masculine soul that just kept, shouting, kept, just would refuse to sit down. We fucking called it like, what do you call it? ADHD, attention deficit, disorder. We slap these labels on it. By and large, it's like your masculine soul just would refuse to sit. Your nervous system, this, the gut feeling in you was like you wanted to be wild and alive and climbing and in nature and out farming, out, hunting animals. That's what your whole inherited biology was sending you to do. So if you were the one that sort of refused, you were the rebel, I honor that rebel heart. And I hope if you're resonating with that, it's like that you can find some love and acceptance that was a phenomenal part, and it's an inherent part of you, and it needs to be honored, deserves to be honored. Coming into marriage, you know, when we end up, and every man, what I would say in this is, like, whether you have come, like, this is where deep coaching, deep men's work, therapy, etc., deep shadow work can help you get to specific memories. Whether or not, you know, your memories are coming up for you, I imagine that most of you have memories, have reflections coming through you of what you can resonate with in this. What you bring into marriage are neuronal habits, like habits of your nervous system and how it perceives life, how it subconsciously breaks down. Oh, if I do this set of behaviors, you know, I get the attachment needs, I get the love, I get the appreciation, I get the acceptance from my woman. The same belief systems that were set in place as a 4, 5, 6, 7 year old or pre-verbal or in all those formative years, we bring those inherited set of belief systems into marriage. And this really complicates things. It complicates things because our woman can only trust us when we're fully at one with being authentic. But being fully authentic takes a leap of faith, and it takes a sustained practice of introspective, you know, awareness of the emotions that come up. You know, when being authentic has been linked with your attachment needs being taken away from you, you know, the approval from your mother, the approval from your teachers. When you come into marriage, nearly every single guy, I would say every single guy in marriage struggles with being fully authentic, owning his needs. And there's two different ways we can go with this shadow that we bring in from childhood of, you know, fearing being authentic, fearing a backlash, fearing the disapproval. Some guys go the route I did, the Mr. Nice Guy. We pretend to say yes to everything. We deny that we have needs of ourselves, and we just please the feminine, please the feminine, please the feminine. Some guys listening in could go, oh, I never did that. Like, you own your needs. And you're like, I'm authentic, you know. I want to travel, I tell my woman, that's it. You know, it's like, it's sort of my way or the highway. Maybe you experienced that your dad sort of submitted too much and lost a lot of his freedoms, and you saw his frustration and you went the opposite way. You're like, I'm going to fucking travel if I need to travel. You know, I'm not going to feel guilty about anything. I'm authentic. And yeah, that's, there's no better or worse. To experience a beautiful married life experience, to have your woman, you know, to be the husband she brags about, to be the husband that she can feel safe around and feel inspired by, the my way or the highway sort of, I'm going to meet my needs, that lacks an emotional softness, lacks a loving acceptance of yourself in the moment. Your woman can't trust that, and she will feel really jarred by that. And you can go at that for years, but you'll end up the same way. You're not being authentic, because the radical authenticity I'm talking about is a soft experience in your nervous system. And you know, how often do we, like, we don't speak about soft being a power, being a strength as a man. It's like the hard man, the hard front. But in men's work, we talk about have a strong spine and a soft front. The strong spine is the part where, you know, you learn that all your impulses and emerging authentic thoughts about yourself, you learn with time that they're inarguable. They're okay. Not only are they okay, they're sacred expressions of your being. But your nervous system, your work is to keep remembering in your lived inner world experience that everything that comes up for you is okay as it is. No expression in your nervous system, no thoughts that come up, no impulses that come up mean that you are wrong, mean that you are bad. What this does not mean is that any thought that comes up, any impulse that comes up, you have the lived right as a human being to act out on that. Just feel the distinction of this. Anything that comes up is okay. Anything that emerges, the thoughts, the patterns in you that come up, that's okay. Part of your healing journey is to honor, and there's a deep wisdom in that. But it doesn't mean that you can act out in that, because, and what I mean by this is like, hey, you know, like, so my authentic self felt a deep sexual attraction for the woman at work, for the waitress. And so I just went up, I flirted, we had a couple of drinks and we fucked hard. And I came home. It's like, hey, I was listening in to Mark in the podcast and, like, you know, I've unleashed, I've liberated my authentic self. I'm not saying that. Yet, if you do have, I'm going to use this because it has been like a potent example. I want to give you like a lived example in my inner world, what has been, and it continues to be a challenge there. You know, it's like living out your authentic self. It's like, it's the path of spiritual liberation. You know, it's like, not to pretend that you do a couple of years of men's work, you listen to a podcast and you have gains, that you're a fully realized, self-liberated being. I'm continually working with this, but what has been deeply meaningful in my life, one of the layers of my authentic self that got sacrificed for the sake of attachment to my mom, and was negating my sexual attraction to the opposite sex. Growing up, there was a lot of, like, many and large, like, experiences where, you know, any expressions of sexual desire, if a film came on, it was sort of like, you know, it was like there was an awkwardness came in the room, and there were tons of memories. I don't need to go through them all, but all of the memories were pointing towards, you know, a man's sexual desire was like this uncontrollable beast, and it was like, it was almost wrong. It was like there was a part of having a sexual desire to a woman was dangerous, was wrong. It was spoke down about. There were no open conversations about, you know, being a sexual being a man and going out and starting having sex at whatever age, and you know wearing protection, all of that. It wasn't spoken about. So part of my nervous system, my developing nervous system, learned that, you know, these sexual desires are wrong, because if on the topic of them, there's always this weird energy about it, and it's not spoken to. It means it's wrong. And deep, deep down, my nervous system took on this sense of shame. It's like, oh, well, if on this topic, if I express this, or if this topic comes up, you know, sexual attraction to women, if that comes up in my lived younger years experience, you know, the energy goes funny, the energy goes down, there's judgments about men, there's judgments about sex, there's judgments about, I remember there was an interview about a porn star, it was like, this was the worst thing ever. It's like, why is that on TV? It was like disgraceful that they would even put such a woman out on national TV and, you know, have an interview with her. If all of that was wrong, then sexual attraction is inherently wrong, which means if I experience sexual attraction, I'm inherently wrong. And that's shame. Shame is a deep feeling that you're inherently wrong as a human being. So I brought all of this into marriage. And for years, I was projecting judgment. And yeah, of course, there's 100%, 100%. You know, my woman had tons of trauma coming in herself, as your woman will as well. But it was an escapist thing. I put it all on my woman's wounds that, you know, her jealousy around me, her lack of trust of me, was all because of the cheating and the shit that she experienced growing up. In part, it definitely, those experiences sensitized her to observing what was going on in me and seeing if I was trustworthy enough. But what I was not cognizant of at the time was my shame of this sexual attraction caused me to feel I was wrong. I ended up using porn as like this secretive thing. Now, this is pre-marriage, but it was for years, so it got etched into my system. There was this deep shame about it. So I had the impulse. And this is the thing about authenticity, about your, like, the psychological urge of every human being. There's a fire in you, which is your truth. There's a fire in every man listening in, which is like this burning necessity of human life and your existence is to express your creativity in the world, to express your fully liberated, authentic self in the world. And you will not be happy until you allow that to come true. So if that's not coming true, you will never have a happy marriage. And in marriage, why it will not allow you to have and create a happy marriage is, I thought it was all on my queen. I thought it was her wounds that were causing all of this jealousy. Yet my part was, I was so fucking uncomfortable with my own sexual desire that I brought it all, I kept it all in the shadow of my inner world fantasies. It was an inner world thing that I couldn't speak to. And then when she noticed me, inevitably, like, you know, looking at a poster of a model going by, or on TV, you know, again, you know, on TV when we were watching films, like, and I'm in my late 20s, early 30s, and I'm watching a film, and once a nude scene came on, I was like living like I was like a 4 or 5 year old again. It was like this awkwardness came over me. I would look away. I would get tense up. She was feeling this. My woman was feeling this. So this is where, you know, the belief systems and the fear that being real with yourself and being, you know, being real when you were younger and you had to suppress these gut feelings of authentic emerging realities and thoughts that were coming through you for the sake of remaining attached. I was having this shit fit experience sitting on the couch watching TV with my woman, and these nude scenes come on, I would tense up. Of course, from my woman's perspective, it's like, if he's tensing up like this, and it took me years to go, like, to see it from her perspective. If every single time Mark tenses up when there's a nude scene, or, you know, I noticed that he has looked at a poster of a model, a bikini model in a magazine or in a book, or like in Italy when we were living there, it was fucking plastered everywhere. If he gets really defensive and awkward when I say, hey, did you just look at that like semi-naked woman? And like I saw you looking at like for a few seconds, that's quite hurtful. And I would get super defensive and hurt, and I'd start stonewalling. From her perspective, it was very clear. It was like, well, if he gets awkward every single time, clearly there's some deep, dark shit going on that, I mean, that's not safe for me. From her perspective, it's like, if every single time that this happens in relationship, he tenses up, there's some dark shit, like this is like a subconscious intuitive understanding, there's some dark shit that I am not safe as his wife. I'm not safe. This marriage is not safe, as if he gets so triggered like this, like, this is not healthy, this is not good. It's not that she was against my sexual attraction, it's the fact that I wasn't aware of it and I wasn't comfortable with it, and my whole nervous system went into closure anytime the topic came up. My question to you is, like, what topics does your nervous system go into closure? Where do you have shame from childhood when your authentic self, you know, came true, was shame when you were younger? You will find out the moments when you get triggered the most by your woman, there's going to be some base layer beliefs that are causing you issues. And ultimately, it all reverberates around this. There's lots of details in this and mechanisms that I'm explaining to you, but it all circles around you having learned to forget your authentic self, you having learned, your nervous system having learned that it's dangerous to just be you, nakedly, completely, fully, unapologetically you, that you don't need permission from the feminine in your life to just be you. When I started realizing this, what changed for me, guys, and I really, you know, having lived out, I've been suicidal in my relationship with my queen, you know, at the suffocating nature of not feeling free to be who I wanted to be. I literally I've went through my darkest moments as a man. And outside of those really dark moments, I mean, just had like over a decade of deep frustration and feeling imprisoned. So what I have learned, and with men's work coaching and in my healing journey, is the importance of authenticity cannot be overstated for creating a beautiful marriage. When I started the process, and I called it like the process of ferociously self-loving and accepting myself, that this was my, became my primary purpose in life. This is a number of years ago, that breakdown, breakthrough moment in marriage where it was like, you know, lose my family, my wife, my kids, or show the fuck up. What I fundamentally started doing back then, yes, there was getting my marriage better, but my marriage was, you know, like a secondary purpose outside of myself. My primary purpose, which has been actually the thing, meeting my primary purpose, and with the guys I coach, when you start meeting your primary purpose, and I describe the primary purpose in life as a man, is learning and remembering to ferociously self-love and accept all of your being. The light, the shadow, the good, the bad, the ugly. There's no distinction. It's just like anything that comes up, you're going to love it. You're going to hold space for it. You're not going to judge it. You're going to be this loving presence for every single inner world experience you have. That has changed everything. Giving examples, there's tons of examples I can give. But you know, the sexual desire and attraction to other women. I mean, every single time when I was not owning that, when I would go into closure and Matilda would get even more worried and then horror wounds would come up. I mean, that was a disaster zone for years. I mean, like an absolute fucking disaster zone. The whole jealousy thing, this whole, you know, my sexual wounds, my sexual shame and whore wounds that, you know, men in whore experience growing up, they're just, it's inevitable that they're going to go fucking other women. I mean, this was a disaster zone. It was the one thing that was going to take down our marriage above all other dysfunctional patterns. And boy, we've had our list of dysfunctional patterns together. When I started realizing, it's like, hey, you know, this story that I learned in my childhood, it's like I've learned to be ashamed of any sexual desires I have for other women. And I started realizing, it's like, okay, you know, anytime that comes up, it's triggering, it's rightfully and naturally triggering all the worst fears of my woman. It's like, I've got to take ownership for that. I started realizing, it's like, hey, okay, if I have sexual attractions and desires and fantasies and a part of my mind, like, looks at other women, it's like when I bring that shadow out into my conscious mind, I become in control. I need to become conscious of this. So little bit by little bit in men's work and coaching, I started, like, I was journaling on it, reading on it, doing tons of stuff on it, but all at the base layer was allowing myself from the inside go, I'm going to embrace this part of me. And as I say, embracing it bit by bit, I've learned, I thought in the beginning, I questioned, like, if this is repeatedly coming up, do you have needs to have a relationship based on polyamory? You know, like, where multiple, you know, an open relationship sexually. And I did question that. But the more and more I tapped into it, it's like, I actually don't. What came up is the more and more I opened into it and softened into it was, you know, so I just need to accept that that's okay. And bit by bit, the charge of shame lessened and lessened and lessened in my own nervous system. I was like, none of this means I'm a bad man. That was a learned conditioned thing that was put on me as a kid by society, parenting, whatever. You know, it's like unconscious, undealt with stuff of other people. That's not part of me. So the charge, the felt triggered charge, by and large became absent. It still can come up, but I'm conscious of it. So its effect on me, on dropping me and putting me into closure, ended. So I ended up having like an amazing conversation. I still remember it. This in the last year with my queen, where one day I just opened up to her. I was like, hey, like we had laughed for years on the topic about like the worst case scenario. We had been talking about going traveling, we get our finances together and like organize our horses and lifestyle around here to do more traveling. But one deep fear that was coming up for my queen was like the worst case scenario was like, oh, going on a beach in Bali where there's all these 20 to 30 year old, you know, single women that haven't had kids, and like they're fucking bikini clad, they're tanned, they're fit, they're, you know, they're doing tantra work and all of this type of shit. She was like shitting it. She's like, Mark, I can travel, but, you know, I just, you know, she's had two kids. She's in her late 30s at this point. She's an amazingly fit, but like her inadequacies were coming up. She was like, she was fearing that for years. And hence we hadn't arranged to get to travel. But yeah, I just had this conversation with her. It's like, hey, do you know that worst case scenario? I looked her in the eye. I said, hey, I just want to let you know. I can tell you for a fact, without any apology, that within a nanosecond of stepping onto that beach, and I just do a quick scan, my nervous system, without any conscious effort, will know almost instantaneously the two or three women that I would fuck. If I didn't have a wife, I, like, my system is geared as a powerful, sexually liberated man to notice within a nanosecond who I'm attracted to and who I'm not. Here's the thing. I'm comfortable with that. I make no apology for that. That's a sacred part of my masculine core as a man. I love that part. But do you know what I do? I'm looking her in the eyes. She's looking at me sort of going, wow. Like she's stunned at this point because I'd never spoken this unapologetically to the point. I had never spoken to it in a level I was grounded. There was a nervousness like in the background leading up to it. But when I started speaking it, it was like my whole system went, I'm at home. I'm at home with this. This is really me. I then said to her, it's like, hey, with all that sexual liberated energy, I would look you, I'd get you by the hand, we would march straight to our beachside hut, and we would fuck passionately for like 2 hours. That's what I would do, because I love you. She teared up. She looked at me. She was like, I love that part of you. I love you all the more. And we had a long, beautiful conversation where she said, she's like, she'd never felt as safe in my presence, in me owning this aspect of my being. My belief system, guys, for years was saying anything of the sort was guaranteed to have her hate me, was guaranteed to have her want to break up with me, was guaranteed that she would, you know, disapprove of me and would shame me in front of my girls, would like disconnect from me sexually, everything. Why? Because formative years, my nervous system associated being authentic and sexual expression meant my attachment needs would suffer severely. This is crucial. It's fundamental to get an inner awareness that I am going to say all of your marital issues, the issues that you repeatedly have, and every one of you will have patterns of these are the topics that disconnection happens between myself and my woman. For your 100% part of it, your work, all your work circles around fundamentally learning bit by bit. This episode, listen to it again and again, and all of these episodes, you know, fundamentally, I'm speaking to a radical acceptance and a loving acceptance of you as you are now, your completeness, your wholeness now. You know, to love yourself as a man, no matter how, what's showing up in your life, that you're radically deserving of love now. Because shame unchecked is what spews shit all over our marriage, all over our life. When you undo bit by bit, slowly. It's not going to happen in a weekend. It's not going to happen in as you listen to just one podcast episode. But if you keep listening in, as I say this, keep listening in on a weekly basis. You re-listen to the episodes that you really liked, that really hit home. If they're really hitting home on some level, it's because you're feeling more and more comfortable to connect with some part of your authentic self. The more you do that, the more safe you're going to be around with your woman. The more you're at home with yourself of, hey, I have these desires. Hey, it is a part of my being. Hey, like you're at one with your authentic self. You're allowing. Another major thing in childhood can be not feeling allowed to express so-called negative emotions. You know, high charge, anger. Oh, that's definitely part of being a bad boy. Don't be crying. That was one for me growing up. I know a lot of guys can be sort of shamed as a boy that crying or any expression of grief or sadness or feeling lonely, etc., etc., that was shamed. So when you can actually experience sadness or a grief and know that it's there and know that that means nothing about you in a negative sense as a man, you're having an emotional experience. There's this sacred, you know, emotional guidance coming through you. It's telling you something about your life. It's guiding you. Oh, you're sad about, you know, you're coming up to retirement. Well, that sadness, you need to sit with it and listen to it and be with it. Another case is like, I know doing men's work, my woman said to me once, she's like, my God, you know, I was connecting for a week or two with, you know, quite a profound sadness that was in the background. It's like, Mark, I've been married with you for 13 years. I've never heard you saying that you were sad. I can look back and go, there was a fuck heap of sadness for all those years, but I was so disconnected from it. I thought that was absolute failure as a man to feel sadness. So my mind would not allow me feel it. I would distract. I would get caught in my head. I would just stop feeling. Rather than feel sadness, I would stop feeling. And that's what has happened to us as men. And, you know, dampening down the gut feelings that we had, and gut feelings are these powerful feelings as a kid that this is true for me. I don't want to sit in school. I just want to run around. I don't want, like, all of these things. We had this inherent knowledge that progressively the school system, the education system, the religious system, the parental system, the social system, the whole lot dampened that fiery part of your truth down. And we learn to fit in again. We learn to fit in to meet what need? Attachment needs. You will find that the more authentic you are, you don't fit in with all of these people around you. And this is a key thing here. I want to speak this, you know, this is really crucial. I'm really hoping that there's some part of you. I want to touch base with you, you know, what part of your authentic, free, loving, masculine self has yet to come through you? You know, in terms of your work, your career, your mission in the world, what part of your sexual desires have you sort of dampened down because you think it'd be too much for your wife, or she'd like, you know, your attachment needs, your wife wouldn't love you anymore? What are you not acting on? What part of your truth are you not acting upon because you're afraid that your woman will reject you? You're afraid that your woman will judge you? You're afraid that your woman will, you know, disapprove of you? Just slowing down, like literally just creating a bit of space so that answer comes through. You have a space. Like, what part of your free, authentic self are you not expressing? Have you stopped expressing? When that is not coming true, there's going to be background complaining, there's going to be background resentment, there's going to be background frustration in your life. And as I say, I know coaching guys and in men's groups, like the vast majority of guys are experiencing this. It's my expectation that there's some part, there are some seeds coming up in your nervous system, in your mind, that you're like, yeah, I fucking want to be more sexually liberated in the bedroom. Yeah, I want to feel more radically alive around home. Yeah, there's this repeated topic that brings us into closure. This is my truth. And I can see that it's my shame when that topic comes up that triggers my woman to feel a lack of safety, etc. Okay, so there's this growing hope in all of you that actually being authentic and being fully real in your marriage is actually going to be the healing medicine for your entire marriage, for you as a man, but for your woman. But here's a key distinction coming into landing here. Your impulse as a masculine man, a proud, amazing human being, one of the most beautiful expressions in humanity, is a sexually liberated, freedom-loving, authentic man. It's fucking beautiful. You know, when you're in your radical, authentic, embodied self, other men are going to be attracted to you, attracted to what it is you know, what it is you have realized on your inside. They're going to want to work with you. They're going to want to be your friend. They're going to want to support you in your project. It's this universal law of attraction type thing. So it's like one of the most beautiful things in the universe is a radically authentic man. And your impulse is towards radical freedom, the expression of limitless freedom in you, spiritually, psychologically, financially, in your parenting, in your marriage. It's the impulse to express your full freedom. The important thing is that's your impulse as a masculine core human being. That is your birthright. That is your spiritual path. That is your hero's journey. That is the most sacred part. So that is absolutely perfect and beautiful as it is. Yet, to counterbalance this, what's essential in marriage relationships, and especially if you're like in my situation where, you know, you've had a long number of years where all the patterns of connection have been denying that authentic self, you know, codependency or, you know, like all of these sort of dysfunctional, unconscious patterns that have kept you together. What's really important as you, you know, most of you, you know, you tap into that freedom, you start expressing it, you start loving and accepting it in yourself, is that you link in conversation, in its expression to your woman, you link that your freedom of expression will bring more depth of connection with her in marriage. That the more you express your full freedom, you will feel better as a man, does better as a husband, does better as a parent, does better as a lover, does better as a family leader. So you will bring more safety to the family. You will bring more stability to the family. You know, it can be a high charge thing for a guy to meet his need, to go, I'm just going to go off for a day by myself. I'm going to go off for a weekend by myself. I'm just going to, like, whatever is the high charge triggered meeting of your authentic needs and expressions as a human being, that can trigger patterns of fear within your woman that, oh my God, if like he's been unhappy for all this time and now he expresses this need to be free. What if he goes off and he meets another woman? What if he goes off and realizes, actually, you know, 2 days of freedom away from me, you know, that could tempt him that, fuck, freedom feels much better. Marriage with me is suffocating. He has been reacting like that for years. So she can have these natural emerging fears like, fuck, if I say yes, if I give the go ahead to these needs and I support him wholeheartedly in it, this could kick back against me. He could realize, you know, after complaining for 10 years about marriage and he meets this one need for a trip for a weekend, he could realize, fuck marriage. That's a very real fear from a woman that loves you. No matter how dysfunctional, no matter how unconscious it is, she loves you. If you have kids together, there's a whole life together, she will have natural fears of a sudden change in behavior from you. Yet, she wants you to feel alive. She desires you to be liberated. She desires you to, like, release your highest self, your most loving self. Because why? That's probably the part of you that was on show early in the days before the, you know, heart closure patterns got set in play. So she's radically alive with that. She's turned on by that. She just has a deep, deep need to feel safe as you express your radical, authentic, free self. She has a need to feel that every time you unlock new levels of awareness of what your free, authentic self means, that herself, your marriage together, your connection, your kids, your family unit, your life together is going to be more expansive and more loving and more connecting as a result. Make that connection. She wants your freedom, but you've, from a tactful, conscious communication perspective, I really want you to get this point here, is it's really helpful to make the link explicitly with her, explicitly tell her how, you know, part of you going away and meeting your needs is so that you can rejuvenate and come back more present, more intensely complete, re-energize so you can be a better husband. You know, you can meet your needs and go, hey, honey, you know, I have needs, get off with the guys. and you fuck off for a weekend and you drink hard, you party hard, your sleep needs are severed for the whole weekend. Why? Because you had this sort of false need for freedom and you do it unconsciously, and you come back and Monday morning you're fuck tired, you're hungover, your nervous system, you're not present. She's like, subconsciously, and she's going to be like, she's going to resent it. It's like, what, his expression of freedom, he comes back like this? This is where, you know, do the work and you find what your authentic needs are. It's not, your authentic needs are not going to be to go get rat arse drunk for the weekend. They're not going to go, I just need to go to a fucking strip joint or a brothel. Deep down, they like, their shadow needs, your deepest needs, your authentic needs are spiritual liberation or your creative self. It's like finding, you know, an hour a day to dedicate to the mission of this, you know, the career change that you've always longed for, but you're finally going to do it. You're going to dedicate 1 hour per day to upskilling, to become fucking whatever it is that it is your heart's calling, always has been. You've grown beyond the job title that you have had, that you have mastered for years, but you're bored. It's mundane for you. The only reason you're hanging around that job is, you know, it's like, oh, there's a pension. It's like, it pays the mortgage, but you're dead in the inside. These are the deeper levels of authentic self that absolutely you need to create a space where they can come through. So much beautiful stuff in this. This topic is, by my experience, coming into my fullest self, you know, in marriage, this has been the most healing medicine in the entirety of my inner world healing journey in upgrading my marriage experience with my woman. Is every single time I bring a new layer, and by extension, the guys that I'm coaching, very much, it's not hands-on with just direct marriage. Like, there's marriage habits and systems that you can definitely set in place. Learn what doesn't work, learn what does work. Like, that can change everything. But that's superficial to a point. When you get to the base level part of your nervous system as a human being, and unknot and undo all of these learned assaults on your right to fucking be an authentic, beautiful, liberated, masculine being. When you start loosening up and softening the hardness that comes in as a result of being inauthentic to meet, you know, these attachment needs, when you start realizing all the attachment needs in the world come more freely in marriage, more freely in parenting, the more you're radically at home and comfortable being your authentic self. There can be a bit of kickback, but that's your practice. The kickback is your woman's habitual fear-induced need from whore wounding. That's okay. That's a part of it. You've got to take that in the chin. I mean, wounded meets wounded. That's part of, like, that's part of the marriage journey. That's part of the spiritual hero's journey. But when you truly ground in to a level where you're like, okay, what I'm expressing here is a part of my truth. You know, whatever my woman's reaction, I'm just going to be grounded in loving myself. I don't need to get aggressive with her. I don't need to prove her and justify why this need is true. It's inarguable. I'm feeling at one with myself. I'll express it. Then we can get creative in how we will go about, I can go about meeting that need in marriage. But my need and my authentic self, what's coming through, my truth, it is inarguable. And that level of deep inner peace, where you learn to own your needs, to own your truth, you learn within the sovereignty and the inner world space of your lived experience, you learn to have like a sacred temple of a home within you, where all is loved of you. When you come from there, you will find that your woman will feel you are the one man on the planet that she feels safest to be around. Why? Because when you relate with yourself on the inside like this, where everything that's authentic, every the light, the shadow, what comes through is loved, you will love everything. Nothing of her behavior, or less and less and less of her behavior, will ever trigger you, because you're loving yourself. You're accepting everything that comes through you. You will be able to love and accept everything that comes through her. And nothing can be more attractive and loving and amazing to be around than a human that just loves everything about you. That is what I want for you guys. You know, coming into like it's the end of year and going into 2023 at the time of recording, my deepest desire, like above all, is that every single one of you experience, like the mission here is to be the husband she brags about, to become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Yes, that's the secondary purpose. My deepest wish is that on your journey to inevitably transforming your marriage for the better, is that it comes from this depth of unstoppable, unapologetic loving of yourself as a man, going beyond this inherited shame. No more. There's no more need for any of that. Yeah. I'm feeling good at this. This has been a really beautiful one. I am actually feeling my own energy as I go through this. I mean, this is healing balm and medicine for my own nervous system. You know, what a beautiful process to unfold between yourself and myself. And it's like I'm speaking to you all individuals, like you listening in. We're doing this dance together. It's a sacred dance because part of my mission is, you know, I'm not a complete husband. I'm not perfect. A part of my mission is that, you know, like they say, if you want to master a topic, teach it. And in every episode I do, what comes through me, a lot of the time it surprises and delights me. And my nervous system coming into landing today definitely is letting me know within my inner world how important this is to communicate, how important it is to just love and accept yourself. And, you know, coming from there, I love and appreciate every single one of you powerful men listening in repeatedly. Some of you that are new to it, you're so welcome. If this is your first or first few episodes, you're so welcome to this digital campfire. It's exceptionally important, the purpose that we share together as brothers coming in, as husbands, as family men, as lovers. It's exceptionally important what we're doing individually. You know, the increasing numbers out there, I think it has been up to 300 listens in a week. You know, if that's 250 to 300 husbands, that's 200 to 300 households, you know, marriages that are resonating with more love and more acceptance and more harmony and more sexual energy and more, you know, more beauty. That's 250 to 300 families, kids that are beginning to see their dad coming alive and leading in the family and, you know, resonating with more love and more enthusiasm and more passion. And he's not as grumpy as he was. Like, what's happening? They don't mind, you know, but it's like there's this massive transformation. And what a beautiful thing. And that's just the heart essence of what we do every single episode here, this sacred work. My appreciation for you listening in, my appreciation for you doing the work and integrating these insights outside the context of this podcast episode. And yeah, wishing you a beautiful 2023 if you're listening to this live at the time. If you're in 2023, I hope you're rocking the socks off it and enjoying a beautiful marriage. Coming into landing with the mantra of our movement: better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing kingly day.